Hey, Justin.
Hey, Andros, what's up,
Man,
man?
I went out for smokes and that's why we haven't had an episode because I just got back.
Obviously, I mean, welcome to 2023 though. This is the future is now.
This future is
Soon
now.
every American will be able to play Mortal Kombat with a friend in Vietnam.
Finish
Well,
him.
I actually know the question that everybody has been asking, and I do think I speak for pretty much everybody. Is AI going to take my marketing job?
And is AI going to launch the nukes?
No, because they'll be less people to market to, and they know that.
Okay. That's a good
But
point. Good point.
I think it's a relevant subject, and so I think in this episode we should talk about the elephant in the marketing room, which is
Absolutely. Let's dive into that elephant.
So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Andrew Sturgeon.
And I'm Justin Womack.
And we are the Marketing Geeks. You actually have been spending a lot of time with developing some fun AI images, right?
Yes, I've been experimenting a lot with the Midjourney software, Midjourney Bot,
Okay, for people
which
who
you can
don't
get
know
on
this,
Discord.
explain what this is.
So basically, I get to put in little AI prompts and create images of anything my heart desires. And my heart desires some very, very random things. So for instance, most recently I've made images of like the most interesting man in the world smoking cigars with Batman. And they've come out pretty well. I mean, surprisingly, they've come out pretty well. And I also wanted to visualize the machine elves that Andres has told me all about that I've never experienced for myself. And I showed you some images of the machine elves. I'm not sure how accurate that AI portrayed them, but
It was a good try. Definitely. I mean, I'm sure you've seen something like that. But
I mean, you can't feed a computer DMT, to my knowledge. That's all.
I believe that some of this AI imaging software, it's close. It's really close. And see the there's these different versions of it. There's Stable Diffusion. There's DALL-E. There's OpenAI. And all of them are kind of now in this race where every single week, in fact, by the time this episode hits, even this stuff will have advanced. It's happening almost weekly. Now they're getting into doing like video, and so it's only a matter of time before what I can get AI to look at my photos and then make me a documentary about myself with the voice of Morgan Freeman.
Right. Well, you also saw that there was a social media craze where people were able to upload their own images and AI would then generate images of them, which is something that the Midjourney bot, to my knowledge, does not do yet. But that was a big craze, is where people were putting their own selfies out there, and then AI would draw a bunch of pictures, and then the female some of the women were saying that they were like too sexy, the ones that would come back. So yeah, that happened.
Well, I mean, so you got to understand the way that this works, and that's why this particular technology is can be unwieldy, to say the least. Because what it does is it basically, from what I understand, like OpenAI scanned the entire internet like 2 years ago, the entire internet, and what it's doing is it's using a data set, and data set is if I say the dog fetched a and I left it blank, there's going to be several words that will statistically follow one after the other, right? So, stick, bone, whatever. you know, hippopotamus is probably going to be way, way down on that list. So it's not going to get served up. And so the problem, especially with some of these like chat AI, is that if you put in a query and you put in a question with something, what it's going to do is it's going to scan the entire, it's going to use that data set from those particular phrases that you put in and serve you what it thinks is kind of the best based on that sort of algorithm. But the problem is, as we know, if for those of you who have spent more than 2 minutes on any social media platform, the internet can be a pretty awful place. So
really? How do you
do that, right?
Not Twitter, though. Not Twitter. Everywhere else.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
However, some of these things are super accurate. So the thing I want to ask you, Mr. Womack, is if you have these tools that can essentially put us out of business as marketers, because we can even ask it to write some copy.
Yes.
Are our jobs actually in danger?
Not yet. Our jobs are in danger over the long term. Absolutely, I think.
You think so?
But as of now, I've played with several copywriting AI softwares, and they're not quite up to snuff yet. Now, if you need ideas to write copy from, I think they're great. I think they will bring you the ideas that you can use to then kind of edit and create great like email sequences, great sales pages, things like that. They'll give you the foundation for it, but they're not good enough to deliver like a start to finish perfectly written sales page or perfectly written email, a sales email. They're not good enough for that at this stage. But I mean, I have to believe that given another 10, 20, 30 years, that these things are going to be be superior because they're going to understand every single nuance to human behavior. They're going to understand like how to influence people better than we can possibly understand how to influence ourselves. And I have to think that's coming. And now I was telling you before the show aired that I've also played with the GPT chat bot for the first time. And so this is a new software. Elon Musk himself was on Twitter just yesterday or the day before describing how this is like the end of homework for students in school. Pretty powerful. I will say it's pretty powerful and pretty accurate for the questions that I was able to ask it.
Yeah. And so I just want to back up a second and explain like what ChatGPT is, because it's basically something that almost perfectly passes what's called the Turing test. And the Turing test is a test where you try and fool a human. A robot tries to fool a human into answering in a way that it feels real. And although this new device, ChatGPT, doesn't necessarily sound human, it you can put in any question and it will answer in a way that sounds absolutely natural. And so if you put in questions like, when did the Gettysburg Address happen? What was the cause of World War I? It will give you a paragraph that is actually pretty good for an answer. And it's well researched for the most part. But that's the trick. So, do you really think that there's going to be some sort of moment when we won't even need marketers anymore? Because I actually don't think that will be the case.
I'm not sure if, yes, actually, I do think that will be the case, because if you look at the trajectory of AI from 20 years ago to now versus 20, if we project out 20 years into the future, I think then, yes, I think that the AI can advance at a level high enough to eliminate the need for us, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon. I think we have at least 20 years before we hit that singularity moment for the marketers out there, where AI surpasses our skill level. And I also, I just think that there's like AI is still going to have its, it'll never have like perfect. Well, maybe it will. Maybe it will. I mean, I'm trying to think if it'll have perfect.
Yeah. I have an anecdote for this. So the other night I'm with my boy and we're at this, this food court type of thing here in the Netherlands. And I run into this guy who works for a tech company. And part of his job is to take text and convert it from different languages into French. And he used AI to do that. And he just did little touch-ups. And then, you know, they had hundreds of pages that were listed like on the first page. He was doing like all this SEO work. And one day, not too long ago, all of those pages were suddenly delisted, like delisted. They weren't showing up at all. And it turned out they ran all sorts of, they got a super high-end SEO expert to come in. They were looking at the way that the pages were structured. They were trying to figure out Google's algorithm. And what they had finally figured out was that Google has now identified content that's been written by AI and will no longer list it. So a lot of people are now just packing their pages with keywords trying to get their stuff listed because they know how to use the SEO in the right way and ask these questions, and it just writes it and they're just copying and pasting it. But if you're doing that, your page is going to get delisted.
Now, this is an interesting point because there's also been a big pushback from the art community about AI images that have been listed in like art competitions. And there are several of those like award committees that have banned AI images. Now, I don't know the specifics of how they identify what's AI and what's not. It's probably not that difficult to do, I would think. But I know that there's been big pushback. So that's an interesting point. And that could slow down the progress. Now, I think AI is capable. Let me rephrase this then. I think AI is capable of surpassing all marketers in 20 years. If there's enough pushback, then maybe that doesn't happen though. Maybe it doesn't happen because there's enough pushback. That's a different story though, to me.
Yeah. And here's why I think that will never be the case, because the one thing that AI will never be able to do is read a room, right? It will never be able to look someone in the eye and make a sales pitch and do it in a way that doesn't creep someone.
Why not?
I mean, maybe, yes. I mean, I fully predict that eventually this technology will be like, instead of like buying a video game, we will wake up and a video game will have been made based on how we're feeling. And, you know, it'll be like this custom made story just for us. And it plays directly to our algorithm. And as soon as I can, you know, get the sex robot upgrade to that video game, then I will
no longer need to leave my house.
I mean, I look at AI though, like it looks me in the eye. It sees the size of my pupils. I mean, it looks at the size. I mean, it looks at like the eye movement. It looks at everything that like we humans don't have the cognitive ability to process every little thing, but I feel like AI would. So I feel like, yeah, it could read a room if it's able to capture it all on its cameras and everything. If it had enough, you know, processing power, then I feel like it absolutely could read a room and it could manipulate us much better than we can manipulate each other. That's my opinion.
And so that really comes down to is this thing going to be a tool for us, or is it going to basically enslave us by whoever's holding the master algorithm? And, you know, I mean, like right now, for instance, I'm not too worried about it, because one of the things that I've been doing for some clients is that I use an AppSumo tool. For those of you who don't know AppSumo, don't ever go there, because if, as a marketer, you will spend way too much money.
You lose all your money. You'll spend it all.
I did buy this tool recently called Neuron Writer, which I highly recommend. And basically what it does is it helps you write the article. So it will give you like a blog idea. You just say, you know, 5 ways you can save money with your car insurance or whatever. And then it will give you like 5 topics, and then it will write the paragraphs for you. And the paragraphs, sometimes the information is not quite correct. So you got to be very careful, because again, it uses the algorithm to just predict the word. And sometimes those words aren't necessarily correct. But if you have a first draft, which to me is the heavy lifting, that's the thing that takes the most amount of time. And that's why I hated writing SEO driven articles. It took so much fucking time. But if you have something that writes the first draft for you, which always sucks anyway, and then you just go through it and make it more human, and knowing that those clunky moments that don't sound quite, they sound too technical and have no soul to it, those are the things that you change. So I've been using this tool, because once you write the article, it will actually look up the keywords that you're putting in there and find the top 10 competitors for that keyword, and then give you a score. And if you beat that score, you'll probably list on the first or second page.
And that's a good usage of AI for this stage. That's where I think AI serves the greatest purpose right now, is for those first drafts. And same thing with sales material. I think great for first drafts, but not great for finals. I mean, it's just like, you can get the ideas, you can get the concepts, you can get some of the terms, but you have to go in there and edit the rest.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if machine learning can ever really learn the human soul, right? And you know, like, look, I can watch a movie and you know, well up in tears over Toy Story or whatever. It's an animated picture, but I think that's more passive. If I were interacting with something, I don't know if we could ever pass that that gap. What's the word for that?
Not the singularity.
Uncanny Valley.
Uncanny Valley. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. So you know,
explain the Uncanny Valley real quick to people that don't know what that means.
The Uncanny Valley is this interesting phenomenon that they found, that if somebody is interacting with a thing that's not quite human, there's a little bit of revulsion that goes on within almost everybody. So it's like, if you could watch like a robot and go, wow, that looks really awesome. But if it looks too realistic, it starts to look creepy. Right.
I think the classic example would be something like in Rogue One, when they brought back General Tarkin as a CGI humanoid or whatever. I mean, CGI human, they tried to put him back in the movie, but there's something not quite right about like the eyes. There's something not quite right about the face. And because of that, you just know something's off and you can't like take it seriously. And that's how I felt anyway. And I think there's probably better examples than that even, but that was like the one that sticks out to me.
Absolutely. And even the Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia,
for sure.
You know, I mean, all of it, the Luke Skywalker, it's a cool trick. But I think that if I saw that for a long enough period of time, like an entire film like that, there'd be something in the eyes, something that would be not quite right. And the reason that Avatar was able to pull it off is because they were motion capturing the actual actors' faces. So the eye movements, the little tiny ways that the pupils dilated, that was all captured and then painted over with pixels, essentially. So it still had that human quality, but I don't think we could ever get that from an actual, you know, interactive experience.
Probably not, but that is a great segue. I do want to talk a little bit about Avatar. We have to bring this in here because I think like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when it was supposed to come out, I had brought it up as it was likely going to be the number one movie of that year. It turns out that as of like 21, 30, roughly 30 days into the run, less of maybe 21 days into the run, it's at $1.7 billion right now. It's doing quite well. And I've seen it. You've seen it. I thought it was, it exceeded my expectations, which were relatively low, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. And tell me, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, and I've said this to you before, and I will say it again, it's a technical marvel. The movie looks gorgeous, but the story is kind of, I mean, that story feels like it was built by AI. When I confront people with this and I give them my reasoning, it's always this: what's the name of the bad guy in the film?
Gray-haired bad guy, military marine. That's his name.
Yeah. What was the name of the son that died?
Oh, I don't know the son that died, but I remember Spider. I remember Spider stuck out to me. Spider was not the son that died.
Yeah.
The son that died, he was important. I mean, whatever. He was, you know, he moved the character's development. He moved Jake Sully's development forward. That was his name. Character who moved Jake Sully's development forward.
His name was Plot Device.
Plot Device. He was the younger son, right? I think he was younger.
Maybe. Actually, I'm sorry. His name was Plot Device, bro.
So. I can't remember if he was the younger or the older son, to be honest. But he was one of those two sons.
But that's my point. It's like, have you ever seen like two people looking at each other saying, "I see you"? Like, nobody does that. There's no quotable lines in that movie.
I will say this. I did a little bit of research. And there are live action role playing communities that mimic the Avatar world, and they are
people hilarious. Are demented. Those people are demented.
If you go look up, I think it's, what is the live action? Is it LARP? Yeah, live action role playing LARP communities. If you look up Avatar on YouTube, it is incredible. These are like from the first movie too. These didn't even exist. These existed way prior to the second movie, but they are incredible. You have to look at them. They are. Hilarious.
And I guarantee you there's a good subset of people in there that's like, well, Q didn't work out. Hey, Avatar, right? Like, so that's
yeah. I mean, you know, you gotta find your backups when your primary doesn't work out for you. So
oh my god.
What's next? So what's next? Moving on.
To wrap this up, AI, man, use it as a tool, it will not put you out of business. Until it does. And by that point, you know, we'll probably be all underwater anyway.
Yeah, so. I mean, we're either underwater or AI is enslaving us in some other psychological way that we don't fully comprehend. I mean, like, the way I was looking at it was like, it would be possible for AI to control, like, the media, control everything. And then, like, if we were in some sort of, like, future lockdowns, where we would just like be under the impression that all this stuff is happening outside of our homes because AI would have full control, but we would be kind of captive by our own minds, but it would be totally normal out there, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's possible.
God damn, this episode got dark.
Hey, I'm just telling you that I don't trust it. I don't trust AI.
I think I'm just gonna join an Avatar LARPing group now.
But I don't think AI is going to take our jobs. I think our jobs are safe for another 20 years. So
at least.
I think in 20 years, AI is either going to kill us or it's going to be our friend. But, you know, either way, we'll find other ways to make money. So we'll be good.
And always, as we say in many of these episodes, for any AI that's scanning this piece of media and listening, just know that we're a fan. We love you. Please don't kill us.
We've never said a negative word about you. Even if we say that you're going to destroy humanity, that's in love. It's out of love. So.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Andrew Sturgeon.
And I'm Justin Womack.
And we are the Marketing Geeks.
Out.
We are out.
Stick to glass.